As we tried to articulate in weeks before, what is the gospel? We'd like to now consider the purpose of the gospel. And first, we'd like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we read in verse 9 about the certainty of salvation that Jesus Christ has already accomplished on our behalf. Verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. If you'll notice, we have been saved, we have been called, past tense, and that was in the mind and purpose of God before the world began. And what motivated Jesus Christ to come into the world to die for his children is grace and not the works that we have committed in our own life. So we see the presentation of eternal salvation in verse 9, but you'll notice in verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 that the gospel makes this manifest. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, what does light do? Light manifests what is already there. If you come into a room and you turn on the light switch, that light does not create anything that's in that room, but the things that have been previously hid from your vision that were there the whole time, you can now see them because the light makes those things manifest. This is the principal purpose of the gospel, is to be a light that manifests what Jesus Christ has already done for his children. And we'll see this emphasized consistently in all of the verses that we consider here this morning. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Again, the certainty of eternal salvation, but we cannot have a hope of that if we don't know what the Lord has done for us. So in verse 3, it says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now we see that eternal life has been given us by the salvation that Jesus Christ gave us on the cross. It's ordered in all things and sure because God promised this eternal life before the world began. But hope is a confident expectation. And how can someone have a confident expectation of life after death if they have not heard the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins and he was resurrected in power over death? Now, whether someone hears and believes the gospel has no standing that Jesus Christ saved and died for that person. But they can't have a hope of eternal life if they do not know what has been done for them. And we see that the purpose of the gospel is to manifest, to bring light into the situation, and to show the child of God what Jesus Christ has already done for them. We'd like to go to Luke chapter 1, and from verse 67 to the end of the chapter is the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias. He's prophesying through the Holy Ghost. And I want you to look at the description of the ministry of John the Baptist that is revealed to us as Zacharias was prophesying by the Holy Ghost. In verse 76, and thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Notice, he's going to give knowledge of salvation. When John the Baptist began his ministry and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, these people could receive a remission of sins that when they heard the gospel and they heard John the Baptist declaring this one, this Messiah that would come, they could have an experiential remission of their sins, not an eternal one, but you'll notice he came to give knowledge of salvation, not to implore them to be saved, to give salvation, but rather to give knowledge of salvation. Continuing in verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the nation of Israel, there had not been a prophet to that nation for well over 400 years. The nation had truly been in darkness What was the purpose of John the Baptist's ministry beginning before Jesus Christ's public ministry? It was to give light to them that sit in darkness. The nation of Israel had been in darkness to the message of God for well over 400 years. But now, before the Messiah came, God was going to give them a light, to give light to them that sit in darkness. So we see that's the commission of the ministry of John the Baptist, and it's also the commission of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. From Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 15, this is another account of Jesus' appearance to Saul on the road to Damascus that we find in Acts chapter 9. Verse 15, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee." This is the commission of Jesus to the Apostle Paul. And in verse 18, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified, that is in me." When Jesus Christ called the Apostle Paul to preach his gospel, Jesus' intended purpose in his ministry was to open their eyes, not to change them from death unto life, but to change them from darkness unto light, to change them from blindness to vision, and from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins, that they may understand that we have been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and notice, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I'm not preaching this gospel so you can receive an inheritance in heaven, because we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ because of his work on the cross. But you can have an inheritance among them that are sanctified. He's talking about you can have an inheritance here in the church, in the kingdom of God, while we sojourn here in this world. So again, the commission of Paul's ministry by Jesus Christ himself was to deliver these people from darkness to light, because he was going to make manifest what Jesus Christ had already done for them by the preaching of the gospel. You'll also notice in Acts 26 and verse 18 that one of the attributes of the gospel is to turn the children of God from the power of Satan unto God. With that in mind, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. "And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now, it describes these that are lost. The people that are lost in this context are not the people that are dead in trespasses and in sin, and if they don't repent, they're going to end up in hell. Instead, it's the lost sheep that Jesus described in his ministry that has gone astray. It's the son that has chosen to go live in righteous living, who is separated from fellowship with the Father. He even gives a description of those that are lost next in verse 4, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The people that are lost are the people that have been living in sin, and the god of this world, Satan, has confused them to such a degree that they are blinded. They are blinded by the cares of this world, and they are sitting in darkness. So, what's the purpose of the gospel? It's to bring light and to manifest the good news of salvation that has been given us by Jesus Christ. So these people, their problem is not that they're dead and they need to have life. Their problem is that they're blind and they're sitting in darkness. So then the gospel comes on the scene, "lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them." And then when this light of the gospel shines unto them, the power of this message changes them and it turns them from darkness to light. And they have understanding, they have knowledge of salvation, just as we saw from John the Baptist's ministry. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, these people have trusted, they have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now that they have heard this gospel, it says in verse 18, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." These people had heard the word of their salvation. They trusted it, they believed it, and now the eyes of their understanding. What is one of the purposes of the gospel? To give us knowledge. Well, when you have knowledge, now you understand. The eyes of their understanding being enlightened, because the light of the glorious gospel had shined upon the scene. And if you'll remember from Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life. Now, Jesus Christ secured eternal life for all of his children, but we can't have a hope of eternal life if we don't know what he has done. So the gospel comes onto the scene, and now the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and he says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You can't know about this hope if you don't have the knowledge. And then, as we said before about the power of this message of the gospel has the power to change someone's life. We see in the Thessalonian church that the power of the gospel came unto them in much assurance of salvation, and they had assurance of the hope of eternal life, but also it turned them from idols to serve the living God. There is power in this message. And we see that in verse 19, which is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. As we considered what is the gospel in prior weeks, we understand that it's rooted and grounded in the Word of God and in the Scriptures. Well, Jesus Christ is described as the light of the world. Well, if the Word of God is the description of Jesus Christ and his work of salvation, it's no surprise that the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God would be described as a light. In Psalms 119, in verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God, but especially the preaching of the Word of God, shows light into a situation where people were previously in darkness and they simply did not know what they needed to do. They had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But they did not know how they needed to serve the Lord. We see this in Acts chapter 8, where there's a eunuch who had been down to Jerusalem to worship. He's reading the Word of God, but he doesn't have the light to understand the Word of God. He's trying to serve the Lord to the best of his ability, but he's still somewhat in darkness. So the Spirit of God comes to Philip, and it leads him to this eunuch, and he catches up with a chariot in verse 20. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" He said, "I don't understand what I'm reading." He was sitting in darkness. Now, what did we read from Ephesians chapter 1? That the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may know. Well, knowledge gives us understanding. Philip asked this eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch makes the profound statement, "How can I except some man guide me?" This tells us, how can the child of God understand what Jesus Christ has done for them except the Lord send a preacher to manifest the light of the glorious gospel into the situation and to open up the Word of God and explain to them and expound from the Scriptures how Jesus Christ has already saved his children. And we find in verse 35 that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. After that, they passed by some water, and he says, "What does hinder me to be baptized?" And he was immersed in that water, and he received the blessing of the eyes of the understanding of this eunuch were certainly enlightened, and he understood and he knew what was the hope of his calling that was given him by Jesus Christ. It's also important to note that preaching at its core is an exposition of the Word of God, and the Word of God is the testimony of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said in his ministry, "Search the Scriptures, because they are they which testify of me." Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul instructs the minister Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now, do the Scriptures have the ability to give life or to give salvation? No, but it can make the child of God wise unto salvation. Well, someone that is wise, what do they have? Knowledge. It's exactly what we've been considering before, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. enlightened, that these people are saved to the knowledge of the truth, that they see the light of the glorious gospel being manifest in their life, and they can see what Jesus Christ has done for them. And just as the Ethiopian eunuch, they can understand these scriptures that have been so mysterious to them that they sit in darkness, that they could not understand the truths of God's word. But the minister comes and he preaches the gospel unto them, and they understand it. Now, we again see this type of salvation and this type of gospel salvation and blessing about the light of the glorious gospel showing unto the child of God. We see the necessity of a preacher. Now, in Romans chapter 10, this gives us a great insight. In verse 14, it says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" We see this played out very clearly in the life of the Ethiopian eunuch, that he had a zeal of God, he had a desire to worship, he had a desire to understand the scriptures, but how could he except God send a preacher unto him to give him knowledge of the scriptures and also to give them the imperative requirement to believe and be baptized? And he says, "How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" They cannot believe on the name of Jesus Christ unless they have heard the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what the message of the gospel does. Now in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now the salvation, just as we saw in Romans chapter 10, is a salvation from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge. As we see articulated in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth." God desires for all of his children to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the preaching of the gospel is God's ordained means to bring them to that knowledge. So this is the salvation that's under consideration in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And there is power in that message, as we've already described. Now verse 17 of Romans chapter 1. For in the preaching of the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now the preaching of the gospel does not make one righteous before God, but what does it do? It reveals that they have already been made righteous by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when something is revealed, it is manifested. Now when something is revealed, how is it revealed? Well, one of the main ways is that a light would be shining upon the situation when something is revealed. Something that was previously concealed is now revealed. The gospel brings the life and immortality that we have already been given to light. It manifests what Jesus Christ has already done, and it reveals the righteousness of God that we have already been given. Now, another purpose of the gospel when this light shines unto the children of God is to make disciples, and a disciple is a follower and a student of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the commission that he gave to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." He says, your commission is to go out and to teach, to baptize. And you've taught them, you've preached the gospel to them, they've believed and they've been baptized, then you teach them some more. You keep on preaching to them so they can know more about my commandments and they can conform their lives to the teaching of my word. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." What's one of the purposes of the gospel? It's to make disciples, and it is to establish the children of God in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Again, we have something that was concealed, but now it is manifested. In verse 26, "But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." We see that this gospel was concealed from the foundation foundation of the world unto the manifestation of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And now, the gospel that he preached has now been committed to the ministry of the church, and it is committed unto them to establish the church, to build them up. And you'll notice it's been hid for a long period, but now is made manifest. And at the end of verse 26, why is he made manifest and made known to all nations? What's the purpose of it? For the obedience of faith. Why did God set up his gospel now in the New Testament kingdom that was previously concealed in the Old Testament? That the children of God may know what Jesus Christ has done for them, that they may follow him in obedience of faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, we find that Jesus Christ gave gifts to men in his church. Ephesians 4 and verse 8, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He gave some men the gift to preach this gospel. Now, what was the purpose of it? What was the purpose of God giving gifts unto men? In verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That the children of God would be taught the scriptures, that they may have a fuller understanding of salvation and our requirements to serve Christ, and that they may be perfected, and that the body of Christ may be edified. That was the reason why God gave gifts unto men. Not that the man would be exalted, but that the body of Christ would be edified, and that the children of God would be perfected, and that the gospel would be manifested in their life, that they would fully understand the eternal salvation that's been given them in Christ alone. And when they understand that, and when they have knowledge of that, they can have a hope of eternal life. And the hope is rooted and grounded that God promised it before the world began. And God cannot fail and he cannot lie. And when we let that message of truth sink down into our lives, we can't help but repent and be baptized and serve him in a manner that's acceptable here in this world, because we have a knowledge of what he has done for us. So in summary, the Word of God itself is presented as a light unto our path. So when a minister of the gospel stands up and preaches the Word of God, that light of the glorious gospel shines unto the children of God that have already been regenerated by His Spirit. And what was previously concealed to them, the understanding that they did not have of the Scriptures, that the light shines upon them. The light shines into their heart and their eyes are enlightened and they know the salvation that's been given them, and they are wise unto salvation. And let me tell you, there is power in the preaching of the gospel when this righteousness is revealed to them, and it compels them, just as we see at the church in Thessalonica, to conform their lives to the Word of God and turn from idols to serve God instead of the weak and the beggarly elements here in this world. Now, we want to consider further the effect of the gospel and the power and the salvation for God's children that is offered when they do repent and be baptized. I hope we've shown you from the Word of God the light of the glorious gospel and how it manifests what God has done for them. And when the child of God hears that, they are strengthened and they are established and they are perfected by the preaching of the gospel.